We can turn our Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As we look here, this will be probably the shortest sermon I've ever done. You know, but that's okay. We can get a lot said in 15 minutes, but we'll praise the Lord anyways. The Bible says there, when he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. The Bible says that when he puts a charge out to us to get out there and preach the Word of God, that God wants us to get out there and not be ashamed of the gospel of God. Amen. I mean, the Bible says that we need to get out there, and he has given each and every one of us a charge to get out there and to see people come to Christ. You know, one of the things that we have in our church is we have a list. It's about all the people that everybody in our church knows that's not saved. And we pray, have this list, a prayer list, for people that are unsaved. We have prayed for some of these people. Some of us have the sheet. We pray privately. We pray corporately. But the biggest thrust of any church is to see people get born again. Amen. I mean, it's exciting when you see somebody get saved. Amen. I mean, that light comes on and Jesus becomes real. And that is exciting, because that's how real he is. The Bible says that he rose from the dead, amen? And he rose again for you and I, and that is of utmost importance for us to realize that we serve a living God. And the Bible says that he has given each and every one of us a charge to preach the Word of God. Because every one of us has a tongue that God can use for his glory. Amen. And that's what we really need to look at when we think of this charge. When I think of the charge, I remember when I got saved, I was 15 years old. I got saved at Camp Joy. It was the last preaching session of the whole week. And I remember when I got saved, that man preached that word. And boy, I was ripe. I knew I had to be saved. I knew I was in trouble. I knew I had to repent. And it was an amazing thing, because I was in the back row. You know, that's where all them rebels are. They're always in the back row, you know. And I mean, I had to go forward in front of all my friends and say, I'm a sinner. And boy, God laid it on my heart. I remember that week coming back, and I remember I said, boy, all that preaching, I thought I was going to get through it. I thought I was going to make it. Nobody was going to convince me about that. I'm tough. I'm strong. God broke that stony heart, because the Bible says that he can break the stony heart. Amen. And he broke that stony heart. And I remember going home that day, and I prayed, oh, God, kill me now. Kill me now. I want to die, because I know that you're alive. Amen. I mean, I prayed for God to strike me dead, and God didn't do it, believe it or not. And I wanted him to, because I knew he was alive, and I knew if I died, I was going to be in heaven. Well, you know what? I know that when I die, I'm going to be in heaven even today. And I want you to know another thing. When I go up there and be with Jesus Christ, I don't ever want to come back to this old world. Amen. Anybody that gets up there don't come back. So the guy that wrote the book about going to heaven and talking to Jesus, having a good old time, he came from hell, because there ain't no way he went to heaven and came back to earth. Amen. Because that's what the Bible says. Or the guy that decided to go to hell for 23 minutes, I think it is. And I'll tell you what, if he went to hell for 23 minutes, he never came back. Because I believe my Bible says once you get there, it's fixed. Amen. I mean, I believe that's what the Bible says. So, I mean, God gives us a charge to get out there and see people come to Christ. We have seen people come to Christ in our community. Absolutely amazing. We have seen God do a mighty work. We've seen people get saved, born again. We baptized them. I tell you what, one thing about our church that's really significant is that we don't have a lot of transplants. A lot of the people in our church didn't come from other Baptist churches. We got people that came out of the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, the Congregational Church, the Wesleyan Church, all these different churches, the Gospel Light, which is a plain church. We've had people come out of those churches and come into this Baptist church and never been in a Baptist church before, and they're absolutely amazed that there really is a Baptist church that preaches the Word of God. Amen. I mean, I'll tell you what, the name Christian is definitely perverted, and I want you to know the name Baptist is perverted too. Just because they call themselves a Baptist church don't make them a Baptist church. The Baptist church stand upon the doctrine of the Word of God, and those are the ones that know the doctrine, and they know the Word. Because we have a message. We have a message to give to a lost and dying people, because the Bible says narrow is the way. The Bible says narrow is the way. Only a few thereby that find it. I thank God I found it. I thank God he sent that life rope down to me, and he enabled me to grab it and get born again. I thank God for that. And when I think about that charge, I think, boy, Lord, lay that on my heart. You need to go out there and you need to win people to Christ, and you can't get weary in well-doing, and it is your duty to do what God has told you to do. And I sit there and I read that word, and we all have that moment where we get tired and prayer isn't working, and we get discouraged and we say, oh, Lord, why? And the truth of it is, the Bible says, it is your duty to get out there and do what God's told us to do. The Bible says, it is the whole duty of man. Amen. To fear God and keep His commandments. That's what the Word of God says. So the whole Christian experience is an experience of duty, because that's what God's Word says. And when you look at that charge, He says there in that verse 1, I charge thee, as He's talking to Timothy, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. I thank God that one day Christ's kingdom is coming. Amen. I mean, the kingdom of God is at hand. The Bible says that you and I need to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the power and we have the message and we have the Holy Spirit into us to say, praise God that I have the Holy Spirit to show the gospel to somebody and to see them get saved. I praise God for that opportunity to be a witness and a testimony for my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, I got saved out of a lifestyle of wickedness and absolute total wickedness, and it just amazes me that God chose to save me. And He showed me the gospel. And I grabbed that gospel and I never let go. But boy, we have our moments of failure, don't we not? We have our moments where we fall on our face. We have our moments when we slip into sin, when we miss the mark. We have our moments. But I want you to know something. God has given us the victory. That's why my favorite song is Victory in Jesus. I tell you what, I sang that song after I got saved on the bus ride home. And I just love that song ever since then. In our church, we sing that all the time. Matter of fact, when I used to give testimony, we'd give a song. And what would happen is all the little kids would give testimonies, and they'd always give them my song. And you know, the saddest part about that is, I couldn't find another one that I liked as much as that one. So we'd sing it twice. You know, when you're a preacher, you can do that every once in a while. Amen? But this charge, when you think about it, as it says here in verse 2, the Bible says to preach the Word. I mean, absolutely proclamation of the Word of God, and tell people, you need Jesus Christ. Or you shall surely die in your sins and trespasses. We live in a day and the hour is late. And the Lord is coming. And we need to get fired up. And we need to get stirred. And we need to be what we can be for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need. We need diligent soldiers. Because the Word of God says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And to put on the armor of God. Because, see, that's an active word. Put it on. Get ready. Praise God for that. You know, what an awesome opportunity it is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I tell you what, when we go soul winning, I know where all the clergies are in my town. I know that when I go soul winning, I usually have one of my deacons with me or somebody else that I'm training, and I always make sure we go by the clergy's houses. And I always make sure that they go up and knock and witness to them. I know some would say, well, that isn't very funny. Well, I think it's funny, to be honest with you. I remember one time my one deacon was with me, and I said, you need to go up and knock on that door. And he goes, well, wait a minute. That could be the Lutheran pastor's house. It's probably his little house that they have, his parsonage or whatever. And I said, oh, nah, probably not. I mean, look how nice that house is. And he sure enough, all right, I'll go up there. And I mean, this guy, we've had people that have gotten born again, saved out of that church and baptized in the lake. Amen. I mean, I'll tell you what, one thing them Lutherans say, them Baptists really know how to baptize. We do know how to baptize. But the baptism has nothing to do with the salvation. All right? And you know, when you think about that, we went up there, he went up there, knocked on the door, and as soon as the man came to the door, he looked at me and said, oh. And he goes, well, I wanted to give you this track. And this deacon, he's a little more aggressive than his brother. And he goes, you know what the Bible says about baptism? Well, you know, if you really want to get a Lutheran stirred up, talk about baptism, right? I mean, I know, I was born and raised Lutheran. I was baptized Lutheran. I was confirmed Lutheran. I was married Lutheran. So I got a lot to say about Lutherans, amen? Because I know they don't give the gospel. Okay. And so he's talking to him and they're getting all excited. And I remember all of a sudden he heard his wife in the kitchen. Who is that? Is that one of them Baptists? Yeah, honey, I don't know why they're at our door. And I mean, his wife got excited. She came right up to that door, got right up there, and she just lit into him about 2 minutes. And my deacon the whole time said, I mean, it was absolutely an amazing thing. He just lit into him. And he was like, wow. And then all of a sudden she stops and goes back in the kitchen. And he goes, well, you know, I really don't have much to say now. I do say, amen, I don't either, you know. But you know, what's the Bible say about being with a brawling woman in the corner of the housetop? But, you know, the Bible is so clear that we have such a gospel to get out there and to preach the Word of God. You know why they don't like us in our community? Because we preach the Word of God. We give them the truth. And we preach the truth from the pulpit every day, and we don't compromise. We don't step down, we stand. You know, I don't know where in the Christian armor that he ever gave us anything to put on our backside. You don't see a Christian running away. You see a Christian standing and walking forward. Because the cross before me and the world behind me. I think it is so important for you and I to get out and reach the communities that God has given us for Jesus Christ. The hour is late. When that last soul is saved, I'm here to tell you that rapture is going to happen and I'm out of here. Then I'm going to leave it to those 144,000 Jewish evangelists because it's all up to them now. Amen? I mean, that's what the Bible says. Now, you don't see no 144,000 Gentile evangelists. They're all Jews. But I want you to know something. Right now, we're on earth to glorify Jesus Christ, and we need to stand up united as a church of the living God, and we need to go out there and proclaim the Word of God. We need to get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ, and we cannot be ashamed of that gospel anymore. Because the church has gotten silent. They're ashamed of Christ. And the Bible says that we don't have any right to be ashamed of Christ. He went to that cross. He paid that debt. You were a wicked, vile, evil sinner. And He still bought you. And He shed His blood for you. That you could have eternal life. What more could God do for you? And say, Lord, I have one life to live. Lord, I have one life to live. God, empower me to do all that I can for the glory of God. Do all that I can. God, give me opportunity. Let me preach the Word. Let me preach the Word. I mean, the Bible says, when you think about that, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. You know as well as I do that preaching's out of season. Amen. I'll tell you what, if I went into a lot of churches and preached like this, they'd done grab me by the ankles and threw me out. Oh, we don't want you to offend our people. I'll tell you what, the gospel offends you, you better repent. Because I'll tell you, when Jesus was on earth, did He rub shoulders? He make everybody feel warm and cozy. You know, I went to a Lutheran church. I know how it is. 10-minute story, 5-minute Bible. It's all over. Amen. 1 hour guaranteed. You don't have to worry about going until 7:15 or 7:30. It's 1 hour. 1 hour. My dad, when I was on the road preaching and going to churches, my dad looked at me one day and says, why in the world are you doing that? You don't make no money. There's no money in that. My dad was a strong UAW man all his life. There's no money in that, son. My dad used to get mad at me. Why are you doing this? You need to go get a real job. You know, they always say when you can't get a real job anywhere else, you might as well be a preacher. But you know something? What's the Word of God say? The Word of God told me, I said, Dad, you know what? I said, the Bible says that I got to go out there and preach the Word of God because you raised me as a Lutheran, Dad, but I got saved as a Baptist because I trusted Christ. And I remember telling my dad over and over and over again. And then I remember, I want you to know this, my dad came and heard me preach at Madison Baptist Church in Madison. I was preaching up there at Brother Weiss's church. And I was preaching up there, and I mean, I just let it go. I don't know what happened. But I just let it go, my dad was there. It was like my dad wasn't there. Because sometimes when your mom and dad are there, you go, oh, I better not. Oh, I forget it. I'm just going to go for it. Amen. And I mean, I just let it go. We had a great time there. It was a great church, it was just a real awesome time. But the reason this one sticks out so much to me is that was the last time my dad ever heard me preach. And that was in November. of 2004. And my dad, after that service, came up to me and he said, "Son," and I was waiting, "why are you doing this? There's no money in this." And he's right, there's not. And he come up to me and he goes, he shook my hand. He goes, "I want you to know, I finally know why you have to do what you do." Oh, praise God. You know who did that? That was the Holy Spirit saying, "I'm going to help you out a little bit. Thank you," you know. And he did, and he told me that. Then my dad died 3 months later. Got the bill of health from the doctor. "You're good, you're healthy, everything's good." And boom, he was gone into eternity. And I don't know to this day if my dad was born again. Don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I remember here a while ago, as must have been this year, no, last year I guess it'd be, I remember I went and preached his funeral. And this man supposedly was an infidel. And you say, "Boy, that's a hard funeral to preach. You know the man's in hell, supposedly. You know that he had this reputation that he didn't want nothing to do with God, the church, or anything else. You know that, and so you're going to preach this sermon." I want you to know something, that no matter what sermon a preacher preaches at, there's one thing I know, whether that man's in hell or heaven, he's saying, "Tell him the truth. Tell him the truth." Don't sugarcoat it. All these churches out there, they sugarcoat the gospel. That's why most of the people in Hillsboro, they're lost. They're lost. There's hardly any of them in that area that are born again. Because they don't have people telling them the truth. Because they want to itch their ears. I'll tell you what, if I would have rubbed everybody's ears that wanted me to rub them, we would have been up to about 150 or 200 people. But I'm not going to rub their ear. And I don't care if they're the biggest tither in our church, I'm not going to rub their ear. Because I got to stand before God and give an account. And that's more important to me than any man, any woman, any situation, that I honor Jesus Christ. And He has called me to preach. He's called me. I'll tell you what, I think there's a lot of people in pulpits all over America that never were called to preach. There's just something about it when you're called. There's times you feel like walking away, but you know you can't. And I tell you what, when you look at there, when the Bible says to preach the word in season, out of season, I tell you what, the Bible is so clear with that. To reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We have had many people that have come into our church and said, "Doctrine is not important. That is not what my Bible says." I couldn't tell you all the people that came in and they said, "Doctrine is not important." You better thank God that you're in a church that stands on doctrine. Because there are not many of them left. And the people are starving to death. And thank God that you got a man that'll stand in this pulpit and preach you the truth because he loves you that much. That's why I tell my people. And that's why I do what I do. I tell you, when I started preaching, I just told the Lord, "Lord, I don't have a clue. But I'm just going to tell them what your word says." First time I ever spoke at church, Shannon Baptist Church in Illinois. It was funny because I had never preached in front of people before. And they said, "Brother Lauber, will you come up here and preach on victorious Christian living?" No. Now, I remember I told my wife, "You're not going to believe what he wants me to preach on." And you know as well as I do, if you've never spoken in front of a lot of people before, whatever. I mean, I went home. I did the outline. I wrote down 500 things that I'd tell you what, I'd never preach any of them today. And I had this big list, and I had all these things. And when I got up there to speak, they didn't have one of these. They had one of those little stands, you know, the teacher stands? The ones you can keep dragging back. I dragged that thing back 5 aisles by the end. And here I was telling all these people, victorious Christian living. And the truth of it is, they had side doors like them. I thank God for them. Because, you know, if it gets really bad, you can exit. And I remember doing that and preaching the Word of God. And all of a sudden, I mean, I tell you what, my wife the night before, I walked around the block. I said, I can't do this. And I kept telling myself, I got to do it. And then I got to thinking, and today I look at it and say, it is my duty to do it. God has commissioned me. And I'm going to do it. And your pastor is going to do it. And other preachers are going to do it. God always has His remnant. Amen. God's always got His men. And thank God But you guys have a church here that stands for the Word of God. Because there's a lot of them out. I'm telling you, majority of them. Let's use the word most of them. Do not know even how to win somebody to Christ. You know, one of the things when we started our church, I'm just going a couple minutes a little fast. One thing that we started the church, I said this. I said, one thing I don't want is easy believism. I don't want easy prayerism. I don't want somebody just come say a prayer and say, hey, you're saved, amen, you get to go to heaven. Oh, no! I did that as a novice preacher. Come on, just say this little prayer. Okay, you're saved, amen, get on your way. I got to stand before God someday for that. Giving them the confidence that they're saved. We had a lady in our church. Said she got saved 20 years ago. Had a profession. Defeated Christian. Her Christian life just never worked. The Christian thing never worked for her. And I worked on her and I talked to her. And my wife talked to her. And we counseled her and we counseled her. I mean, you know how it is when people, no matter how much you tell them, they just don't get it. And then one day, the light bulb came on. And she said, Pastor! And of course, that person, you think, oh no, here we go again. You know, only pastors understand that. Here we go again. And she says, you're not going to believe this. And I said, no, come on, tell me. She goes, I just got saved. I said, praise God. I mean, this lady, it was a transformation. I mean, she came to my house. She poured her heart out. And I was just absolutely amazed. Sat in Baptist churches for 20 years and thought it was okay. It's not okay unless you know Jesus Christ and know that He is risen and He's alive. And you got the Word of God. You know, Christian, I'm going to have to end, but I'm here to tell you, read the Word of God. It's alive. This book is alive. Don't put it down and think it's just a book. This book is alive. And if you don't know how alive it is, go talk to your pastor. Go talk to your deacons. Go talk to people in this church that know how much that book is alive. Because this book is alive. And that person that penned that book is living inside us. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that empowers us, enables us to do all that we can do to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Remember, you charismatics, we're not to the point of saying, oh, Holy Spirit. No, we're to the point of saying, Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit does not speak of Himself. He speaks of Jesus. And that is the glory. And that's the power of God. And the wisdom of God. Isn't that not what your Bible says? If you don't know where that's at, you should find it. It's in your Bible. And I put that charge to you. Because you got a big community here. We drove up. We got here early. We went through a few neighborhoods. And the whole time I was thinking, wow, wow, wow. All those people. Guess what? That's your work. Get busy. The hour is very late. And when that last soul's saved, we're out of here. I really believe that, brother. I believe it. I believe when that last soul is saved, that rapture's going to happen. I don't even think that person's going to get baptized. I think they're just going to be in paradise with all the rest of us. Amen? Come on, brother.